Good morning and a warm welcome to the Simply Divine program. Maria Colfer here, and you're tuned to Southeast Radio. Did you ever wonder, did God speak only through Moses? Or does God speak through women? This is a fascinating question that exercises my guest this morning. She's a native of Donegal. She studied theology and music and had a life-changing experience when she met with the Columbans and worked abroad as a lay missionary. She has lectured in the theology department of All Hallows until its closure, while also working in pastoral leadership, and has a deep interest in adult faith formation. At this point in her life, she's freelance, she gives retreats, and she believes passionately that the prophetic legacy of many women in both the scriptures and in church tradition continues in many Catholic women in today's church. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Gráinne Doherty. Good morning, Gráinne, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Maria. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for the invitation to join you this morning.
Well, you had a life-changing experience when you became a lay missionary. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, Maria. I suppose when we open our eyes, I suppose every moment and every situation we're in is life-changing, you know. But yes, it was definitely, I suppose, when I joined the Columban Lay Mission Programme, and I was blessed and fortunate enough to be in the Philippines for over 3 years, in the southern Philippines, in Mindanao. And I suppose that gave me the experience and the grace to kind of recognize, I suppose, that we're part of a universal church, what universal church really actually means, you know. And so therefore I was kind of learning a new language, living in a new culture, and we were always encouraged to live with Filipino families. So you know, just totally immersed in a culture other than my own. And so therefore, the longer you stay and the deeper you get involved, the more you can begin to see from another culture's perspective. And that's a great gift then when you come back then to your own country and I suppose recognize that in this time of transition in the Catholic Church in Ireland, I sometimes feel we're getting very bogged down in getting into looking inwards as opposed to looking out and seeing that maybe about three quarters of the Catholic world has, you know, small numbers of the ordained. They developed different models of church, different models of being. And I think we've a lot to learn from there. But apart from that, I think just being in the Philippines where you don't realize how attached to certitude you actually are when you're safe and familiar within your own culture. So being in the Philippines, especially for the first several months, been stripped of language, been stripped of any kind of familiar reference points. That was all a great kind of stripping back and challenging me then into just recognizing myself rather than and as being maybe gifted and called and loved by God, as opposed to falling back on, as I said, roles and certitudes that I might have had back in my own home country of Ireland, you know.
You had to learn about local herbs, I think. Could any of those remedies be transferred to our situation in Ireland?
Well, I don't know about the literal herbs, but yes, I was lucky enough to and fortunate enough to join. Like some of the work I was involved in was around community-based health programs, where again, there was no medical facilities nearby. You know, people's far-flung barrios were maybe a couple of hundred miles from a hospital, and there was no doctors, no nurses nearby. And so therefore, there was one of the projects I got involved in was local women who knew the plants, the herbs, and they taught other women then how to utilize and use those then for medicines and for care, you know. And so that was great. So, you know, so that local people really supported themselves. And another one was the Grameen Livelihood Project, which is famous for the founder, Muhammad Yunus from Bangladesh. He won the Nobel Prize for his vision of the Grameen Livelihood Project, which It gives money to people, gives small loans primarily to women to start tiny little domestic-based
businesses
yeah. in their own homes. So buying a sewing machine or buying a pig or whatever and rearing it and rearing other pigs then gives them a livelihood then to become independent and look after their children's education and also involved in all of that. And then also, because where I was living was 1% Christian and 99% Muslim, again, I was very blessed to be in the depths and in the midst of that cross-cultural, I suppose, richness and, you know, into Christian-Muslim dialogue and a bigger awareness of the richness of another faith as well, living alongside and interwoven with Christianity. You know?
Yes, so, I could imagine it would be life-changing, all right. Well, you were in All Hallows. Leaving that must have been sad for you.
That was very sad, yes. And I mean, that's one of the, I think, big sadnesses of the and hidden stories of Ireland at the moment is so many small colleges of theology have closed in the last couple of decades. And just due to a kind of a new direction in education and third level education, a new emphasis on maybe STEM, which is, you know, science and technology and maths and all, much more than maybe the arts. And so I suppose what I found in the All Hallows was a wonderful empowering of primarily adult faith education, adult faith formation of not just young adults coming straight from school, but more primarily people 40s, 50s, 60s, and even older coming back and searching out from a very mature sense of, yeah. of searching their faith and undertaking studies. And, I mean, you know, we're told that an educated, this is what the Irish bishops say, that an educated world needs an educated faith. And I suppose that's what we were trying to do in All Hallows. And the richness, again, of the experience, of the stories of people coming into All Hallows and, you know, engaging with their faith at a very adult level. You know, as opposed to just absorbing and learning by rote, they were kind of interweaving and integrating what they learned into their own lives. And so therefore they were able to challenge me in the classroom and the lecture theatre very easily and saying, well, I know that's what the church teaches, but that has not been my lived experience, maybe as a mother, as a grandmother, as a woman. You know, so there was always this great tension and wonderful adult learning of holding various kind of I suppose stances together, and that's what mature adult education is about. You know, we kind of think that sometimes, or we've been given the impression sometimes, that the stronger faith we have, it means that we have to be certain about absolutely everything. Whereas actually, it's the opposite. Christ kept asking us questions as to, you know, what do you want? What do you seek? All of this kind of thing. So it challenging adults to actually think for themselves and, you know, interweave their faith from their own lived experience, you know, along with our lived experience in tradition and in scripture. Vatican II also asks people to use their lived experience, their reflected lived experience to, you know, to understand their faith at a deeper level. I mean, a very simple example is shortly after I graduated from with my first degree in theology, just a couple of months after I graduated, I was standing at my father's gravesite. And so I had graduated with a bit of paper that said I had all the intellectual answers to everything about faith.
Yes.
And yet I stood by my father's graveside and really questioned myself as to what did I believe now? Where did I feel my father had gone? Where was he? what was the whole thing of an afterlife? What did I believe really as an adult, as opposed to just having intellectual answers for an exam question on the afterlife? I now had to start integrating that as an adult into my faith by standing by the reality of my lived experience of my father having died. You know, so, and we all have as adults, the older we get, the more experiences like that we have that makes us question our faith, our values, our understandings of God. And living adult faith is to be given space to explore those questions and explore new ways of interpreting and understanding our faith.
Well, Gráinne, we know now that All Hallows is closed, and you're saying that adult faith formation, and I agree with you, is very important. Where is this being taken up or being replaced if All Hallows is closed?
Well, again, we've been very lucky that even though All Hallows was closed as a theology of as an institute of theology, it's now under the auspices now owned by DCU, and also Mater Dei, another college of theology where I would have done my initial degree, is also in St. Pat's, Drumcondra, and they have a thriving school of theology there, you know. So, you know, it's not an either or, but things have adapted and changed over the years, and that is good. But also, as I said, several smaller campuses have also closed along the way, you know.
Yeah.
So theology is still being taught, but I think the opportunity for a lot of adults to study theology in a kind of a more relaxed and more I don't know, in a maybe, you know, maybe a non-exam
academic way,
context is less open now, you know, which is always a pity.
Right. Well, I said at the beginning, did you ever wonder, did God speak only through Moses? There are many women named in the Bible, and all of these women have a story. Do you have a favourite?
Oh, Maria, I know we're here for a short time, so you shouldn't ask me, do I have a favourite, because I could keep going for hours. So I'll just kind of, I suppose, there'd be a couple of women who would kind of stand out. There'll be many women I won't have time to talk about.
Well, maybe just one.
In Ballyvaloo and Kilkenny. But one now would be maybe Hagar, just one of the very first women in Genesis.
Just give us the context of her now.
Yeah, so we encounter Hagar in the wilderness. She encounters and meets God, the angel of God, in her wilderness. And she has escaped her mistress, Sarah and Abraham, that we're very familiar with the story there. But Hagar is their slave girl that has been taken from another country. And we hear in the scriptures that Sarah abused Hagar to such a degree that Hagar just fled and escaped. And so the wilderness and dying in the wilderness was nearly preferable to staying with the abuse of slavery under Sarah, which is very challenging to us reading those stories in the scriptures. But Hagar encounters God, and God asks this question of Hagar that God really is asking of each one of us, where have you come from and where are you going? And if we sat with that question of God asking that of each one of us, where have you come from and where are you going, then that is going back 3,500 years to the story of Hagar in the wilderness. So in many ways, our stories today, our lived experiences, also resonate with the stories in our scriptures, in our traditions. And Hagar, despite being a young slave girl in the depths of fear and pain and suffering, she then kind of, I suppose, goes deep into herself, and she calls out and says, am I seeing the God who sees me? And so she recognizes that the God is not a removed God. The divine in which she believes is not removed from her life, but is a God who sees her. And believe it or not, it's this little slave girl, young slave girl, possibly relatively uneducated, living in fear, having escaped her house, who is the one, the only one in the Jewish scriptures in the Old Testament who puts a name on God. All the rest of the time, God names himself, where she's the only one that actually names the God who sees me. And so I think that speaks volumes to us on many levels today as well, of trusting our own experience of God and also listening to the God that's revealed on the margins of society, on the people that sometimes we mightn't listen to. But Hagar, as I said, was this slave girl. And then she was told to go back to the house of her mistress. And that was used for a long, long time to say that God condoned slavery. But in later interpretations, when we look at the whole story, what God was kind of saying was, go back, because Hagar was pregnant, go back to the house, and then the son that you will give birth to will then be recognized as Abraham's son. Whereas if she had a child out in the wilderness, if she had given birth in the wilderness, that would not have been recognized. So it's a recognition of God's long-term plans as well, and that he was sending Hagar back into the place of abuse, not condoning any hierarchy of slavery and slave owners, but actually to protect Hagar and her son in the long term.
And of course, we still have slavery. We still have, in a way, and we have abuse, and we have people fleeing from terrible situations. So it does resonate with us today. Why did you choose her?
I suppose I'm struck with just, you know, sometimes we think we have to be really healthy, and not in a physical way, but healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or whatever, before we present ourselves to God, and then God will love us. We nearly have this thing, whether it's our society in which we live, whether it's messages we've got from our childhood, whatever it is, we think we nearly have to earn God's love. We have to be a particular way for God to really come to us. And yet, right throughout the scriptures, God always comes to what the Hebrews call the Anawim, the little ones, the broken people, the people in fear, the people who are struggling, the people who are questioning themselves, questioning life, questioning themselves within the world. And God always comes to the broken, those in fear. That's, God is never presented as really coming to the very healthy and the people who have it all together. And so I suppose why I chose Hagar was she's one of the very first examples in the scriptures where that happens to, and then that story continues to keep being repeated right throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. God keeps coming to the people who are vulnerable. And that's what I suppose the wonder of incarnation actually is. Incarnation goes definitely beyond a little baby in a crib at Christmas time, however lovely that story is. But it's, you know, to have God incarnated into our here and now in every single moment. It's to have our eyes and our hearts and our minds open to being present to recognizing the sacred in this, in the here and now. Yeah.
Yes. You're coming to Ballyvaloo. It's on St. Valentine's Day. You're going to be talking about women in the Bible.
Yes, so we'll just have time in the day to look at some women in the scriptures. And so we'll be looking at some of the women in the Old Testament, and then primarily most of the day then we'll be looking at women in the New Testament. So maybe looking at, broadly speaking, we'll be looking at women of Exodus and the Exodus story. And then going into the New Testament, we'll be looking, of course, at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some of the women around the Passion. and into the early and new beginnings of the new church. And I suppose my desire, my hope is really to kind of come at that with fresh eyes, that we think we're familiar with all of these stories, but there's nothing like opening and breaking open the scriptures, where we keep being told it's a living word of God, to try and look at it with new eyes, with new interpretations, and see how their stories, written 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 years ago, can kind of maybe speak and be held up as a mirror to our lives today.
And
you know?
You're talking about women in the Bible. Does that mean it's a day only for women?
Oh, definitely not, Maria. Definitely not. And this is where I suppose it shows how unknown many of these women are. Is if we had a day for St. Peter or St. Paul or for any of the apostles, which we would never think that that's just a day for men.
No.
And so therefore, these are, it's not about cancelling out the voice of men. It's, we've heard their stories so many times, and sometimes it's important now to break open the stories and the lives of women in scripture that has been lost over the last 2,000, 3,000 years. And so it's for everybody, everybody of faith and none who wants to engage with these women's stories, and to see how stories of, as I said, of encounters with God of 2,000-3,000 years ago can speak to our lives today. And it's quite amazing, actually, the resonance that can be made between, it's the one story, as I will be saying on my couple of days in Ballyvaloo and then in Kilkenny, it's our story. There's a story growing inside each one of us, but we're also growing inside a bigger story of our families, of our communities, of our faith. And part of that is to engage in the bigger story of scripture as well.
Well, Gráinne, we're out of time. You're enthralling us with your stories and your insights. You've certainly whetted our appetite for the day in Ballyvaloo on the 14th of February. And you'll bring a whole new and fresh approach as to how we might encounter and recognise God in our lives. Now, people, they would like you to book a place in advance. It's from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4:30. It's €30, including lunch, and you can pay at the door. And you can book, and they want you to do it before Tuesday, the 11th of February, by contacting Sarah or Katharina on 056-7722-870 or email regionaloffice@ssjg.ie. So we wish you safe travelling to County Wexford. We look forward to having you. May you continue to inspire groups in your work. Thank you and good morning to you, Gráinne.
Thanks, Maria, and good morning to you and to all your listeners. God bless.
And you too. We will leave you today with Johnny Carl, the man with a golden trumpet, playing for us Whispering Hope. And before I go, may I ask you to remember that Patricia McNally is back tomorrow morning at 9:04 with more Sounds for Sunday. And finally, remember, we're all made in the image and likeness of God, so we're not just human, we're also divine.
This program was produced by the Christian Media Trust, exclusively for Southeast Radio.